This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. Our corporate directors just fat cats that earn a nice salary to attend meetings, be a rubber stamp, and sign off the minutes. Is that a fair impression, or have times changed? Globally, the level of corporate governance and accountability has been raised, and with that, the roles and responsibility of directors. But is that the case for Malaysia Inc.? So to answer that question, we have with us Michelle Kaithi Lim, President and CEO of the Institute of Corporate Directors Malaysia, or ICDM, the one-stop shop for all directors and boards. Good morning, Michelle. Let's start with your organisation. So tell us something about this dedicated body that was established by the SC not too long ago. So briefly, what is the main purpose?
ICDM was officially launched last October by the Minister of Finance. Its end goal, really, or end mandate, is to improve governance on corporate boards. And we do that in several ways. We obviously have programs for directors. We do board evaluations. There's thought leadership, advocacy. We speak up on behalf of directors on issues affecting directors. We also do director placement as a service, which is competency based. And we place non-executive directors. So there's a range of services. So we are the only Institute of Directors for Malaysia recognised by the three main regulators, i.e. the Securities Commission, Bursa Malaysia and Bank Negara Malaysia. And we provide that end-to-end service, hence the one-stop centre, the whole slew or suite of services for boards to improve their effectiveness and to improve governance at the end of the day.
But are you accountable to anyone? Are you like a government agency? Do we look at you like Bank Negara, SC? What is your function and how are you funded then?
We were initially, the setup was spearheaded by the SC, that's correct. But we are now independent. We have our own board. But we do have initial funding from the Capital Market Development Fund. And that will take us through for the first 5 years, but we will be self-funded after that.
Are there any set KPIs for you, key performance indicators, then certain things you must achieve by certain dates then?
Yes, there are. There is actually a business plan attached to the funding.
Could you share some of this business planning?
Well, not in terms of numbers, but I can tell you that there are targets in terms of the programs that we deliver, in terms of the membership that we need to raise, because we are membership based. Our members are individual directors as well as corporates themselves. There are measures in terms of the type of reach we need to be and should be, and the type of programs that we want to run as well.
And who joins, like you say, directors and companies, right? Because this organisation isn't just limited to listed companies, am I right? It's to every director.
Across the board, yes, that's right.
But if we just focus on listed companies, because otherwise, you know, there's thousands of directors out there. How many have joined from the 900 over listed companies on Bursa?
Okay, bearing in mind that we are only just under a year old, we've got about 300 over members currently. The membership drive is ongoing, obviously. In terms of corporates, we have about 30 currently. And it's on our website, and most of them, if not the majority, are listed companies.
And how did you convince them to sign up? I mean, what were the benefits that they saw in signing up with ICDM?
Firstly, I think we're relatively new in that sense. Our value proposition as such is that we provide membership on a voluntary basis.
But there are fees, right?
There are fees, yes. There's a joining fee and there's a yearly membership fee. Secondly, with membership, obviously, you get discounts on programs that we offer and services that we offer. And I think one way is for them to see what we actually offer. All right. So we do run our programs, public programs, for example, that they can join and see. They are topics which are both, how should I say, core in terms of fiduciary duties, as well as non-core in terms of trending, very topical areas. That's one way. Two, we also run power talks, which are free to members and are open to non-members as well. Now, the power talks are very, very popular because they're very topical and very engaging. And we do make a lot of effort to source for engaging facilitators. So it's not just content, it's also delivery. And we look everywhere, you know, across the world to look for good facilitators as such. And that's our value add as well. And point being is we're not here to prescribe. We're here to improve governance and improve effectiveness of boards. But how we do that is through a feedback loop as well. So we, through our membership, we get feedback from members on the type of programs they would like to see or attend, you know, what the facilitators are like, what are the focus areas, you know, what are the issues affecting them that we can speak up on. So with all this feedback, we can actually tailor the programs so that it's targeted for particular directors, depending on their maturity, targeted for specific industries of the corporates, etc.
And just to put things into perspective, do you have a number of corporates or directors that you would like to sign up?
In terms of membership, yes, we do have yearly targets. Our eventual target is to be able to at least have half of the, you know, the listed entities as members.
Okay, Michelle, we'll come back to the programs you run. But our point about Corporate Malaysia is that you open the pages of any annual report and you see the pictures of directors and you can pretty much guess what's going to be on those pictures. It's typically male, I would say middle age. And if you look at their background, they come from the same professions. They're either lawyers, accountants, consultants. And maybe often than not, you get that one token female director. But shouldn't boards have more diversity? And is that one of your key initiatives?
Yes, indeed, it is. Diversity, and when I talk about diversity, it's across the board. It's not just gender, it's ethnicity, it's age. I think age is an important area.
Skill set?
It's skill set for sure. Now, we actually have a very focused program of trying to improve what we call the pool of directors there. Now, these are non-executive directors that I'm speaking of. A large part of what we do now is to improve that pool. Now, we do this in various ways. We are looking at what we call building up the aspiring directors that we have. Now, aspiring directors are those who are perhaps in C-suite positions, very senior, on the cusp, about to sit on a board. All right. What we have is we have a category of members called affiliate members. Now, these are aspiring directors as such. So when they join us, we actually screen them to see how board ready they are. We've done our first screening of the first batch and, you know, about three quarters of them were actually board ready. Now, what happens is when you're board ready, we actually put you on a director's registry and then that goes, that registry is used for placement purposes. All right. Now, secondly, if you're not board ready, or even if you are board ready and you have certain skill sets that you need to improve on, and there's certain gaps from the screening, we then put you through what we call an aspiring directors program. Now, this is very targeted to try and improve competencies, to also start profiling these aspiring directors and to eventually get them onto a board. They could start with a small board, they could start with an NGO, they could start with a Sdn Bhd, but eventually, obviously, is to aim towards sitting on a listed board.
Does sound a little bit like a human resource agency, doesn't it?
Not at all. But I think this is a part that we need to build up, what we call the pipeline of directors into
and
that pool.
Where do you find them from?
From out there. You'd be surprised. When they actually know that we're here and we're actually running such a program, people are very interested. And I can tell you a big part of the individual directors we have are aspiring directors who are very, very keen. People who actually hit the website are looking at board placement opportunities.
And for the individuals that do get on your list, I'm just curious, how do you avoid getting those who just see it as a cushy retirement job? They just, you know, they just want the director's fees. And they're like, oh, they look at the remuneration, which has increased in the last few years, especially the independent directors, right? I think it's as much as, I think, 100 over 1,000 a year now. It's a tidy sum. So how do you get those who just, you know, this is my retirement job. I'll be passive. I want 3-4 directors and I'm done. How do we get away from that?
I think you need a good mix and you need a balance, right? There's no perfection in all of this, but if we are moving towards that change, if we're diversifying that pool, that's already an improvement. We're already moving towards, you know, a good start in that sense. And as long as we recognize that, you know, it's like this herd instinct, right? People will start recognizing and changing themselves, right? You need to just start that shift and start that change and people will start realizing they need to change.
I think the important thing is the independent directors because the SE released their corporate governance monitor. Some interesting findings. I think 50% of directors, roughly, are independent. Impressive. But most are not young. So they are between 61 to 70 years old. And this is the part which worries me a little bit. 30% have served their company for more than 12 years. Now, if you've been there for so long, are you still truly independent? How can ICDM change this?
Yes, that's right. I mean, now, you know, with the new rulings and regulations, you know, 12 years, they have to go for two-tier voting, etc. So that's on the regulator part. Now, ICDM's role in this, again, I go back to that pool of directors we have. It's the same old, yes, you're right. What we're trying to change is that mindset shift from thinking that directorship is actually someone with only with decades of experience. That's not right. And I believe most of them out there are very aware of this. But to change that mindset will take a while. And everyone's very aware. Look at the disruption now. You know that you need the right skill sets on the board to see you through that disruption. Now, boards are, you know, stewards of their organization. They're supposed to, you know, strategize and see the way forward long term for companies.
Which is part of that, you know, that view that directors, I mean, yes, or at least boards, are just full of cronies. They just appoint their best friends, people that won't oppose their deals, that are rubber stamp, passive. How are we going to change this in Malaysia, Inc.?
We are actually bettering the pool. We're actually working with the regulators as well to see how can we have a role where independent directors are actually appointed onto boards. And we've had feedback as well from members on this, that they would like to see ICDM actually actively having a say on candidates who are actually put on listed companies as independent directors. That's one way. Secondly, and you're right, I've had many, you know, even CEOs, directors themselves come up to us, and these are members as well and non-members, who come up and say, please, you know, we need to do something because there are still people appointing, you know, their university friends, for example. They tick the boxes of being an independent director, but effectively not really independent. And again, but I also see the other side of the coin. There are CEOs who tell me, yes, but, you know, we need people that we know. And I understand that. It has to be someone whom you know can actually gel within the organization, for example, and fits in with the board. Then I say, let me introduce you to someone new then, and you get to know them, right? So again, when we have this pool that we've built up, all right, we also provide networking, you know, for these directors. So let them meet these new directors. Let them meet and get to know them, you know, and then try them out.
How do you get a board up to a certain skill set to say, okay, this doesn't make sense financially, and I'm not going to sign off on the minutes? And we hardly ever see this in Malaysia, where independent directors oppose a deal. And even if they did, what they do is they just quietly resign. And to me, I think, you know, we need to raise that level where directors are free to speak and speak openly and say, no, this is not good.
Yeah, I think it's also cultural. All right. But again, there's a lot of awareness and realization that this has to change because investors themselves are speaking up. Consumers themselves are speaking up, and you can't avoid it. You can't avoid it. I mean, there's simple things like boards need to be, you know, aware of how they handle consumers, investors, social media, right? How they handle the changes, disruption, all that. They need to be trained. They can't run away from it because they are in the spotlight.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Michelle Kaithi Lim, President and CEO of ICDM. After we come back, we will discuss the contentious issue of directors' pay and would they take their role more seriously if regulators were faster to act. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Michelle Kaithi Lim, President and CEO of ICDM. Earlier, we were discussing the role of this professional institute, the one-stop shop for directors and boards, and whether it will raise the level of Malaysian corporate directors. Some of the training programs, like you mentioned, they're very interesting. It's a combination. I mean, I like some of them, like the digital upskilling for boards. Mm-hmm. Very relevant.
Yes.
So it's a combination of, like, what they say, core and non. But if we look at some of the core courses, let's say fundamentals of corporate directorship, some of them range from, like, 1.5 days to 5 days. Mm-hmm. Now, will this training be enough to equip someone to be really a good director? And in the first place, if they need such a basic course, is he or she really up to the job? Can you learn it over a week or over a weekend?
Not at all. Not at all. I think it's an ongoing thing. But you see, there's so much you can prescribe or teach, right? A lot of it needs to be through experience and therefore and internalized as well. Now, what we do is we set the base for that. Now, in terms of core programs, we have two types. You know, we have one for very new directors, which is called the Introduction to Corporate Directorship. The one that you mentioned, the fundamentals, is actually for those who need a little bit of a refresher. Perhaps they're within their first 5 years, a little bit more of a refresher. There are different modules. You can actually pick, you know, the modules that you want a particular refresher on, or you can do the entire program, which is about 10 modules, right? So again, we give them that choice so that there's that self discipline to decide what the areas that you want to focus on in terms of your self-development, right? Core programs, about 50% of what we offer. There's a lot of focus now on the non-core programs, which are more current, topical. So that changes again, as and when, you know, new issues crop up. We're trying to build up as well that focus on the newer areas which are affecting corporates now. You've got climate change, you've got disruption. We're even focusing on reputation, social media. How do boards engage? How do boards deal with these sort of new channels of communication, right? And I think that's very relevant. But there could be other things that we'll have to offer next year when new things come on board.
Michelle, pay for both executive and independent directors has become a contentious issue recently. This was on the back of the recent FGV annual general meeting where the resolution for directors' pay wasn't passed. So my question is, when is it too much and what's fair? Is there any objective test?
There isn't a one-size-fits-all pay. I know the answer to that question, Xiaoning. It depends on the industry. It depends on the maturity of that particular business. It depends on their capability of paying, their directors, for example. But it's a market, right? So you need to find the right levels of pay, which then attract the right talents to sit on your board or the right people to sit on your board. Now, I think it's very important for corporates now to realize that, you know, all the more now we need good independent directors on boards. Now, you need to obviously pay commensurate with the level of responsibility. And everyone knows, all directors know out there, that the responsibility has risen tenfold over the last 10 years, right? So it's a huge responsibility. You can't expect people, you know, to hold that sort of responsibility for nothing, all right? On the other hand, yes, there's an issue of overpaying as well, because does that impinge on the, you know, independence? So you need to find the right balance. Now, to each company, they have to find their own balance, and it's a demand and supply thing as well. But as long as there's a pool of directors who are willing to contribute, you should be able to find that sweet spot, you know, where you can attract the right people onto your board. But again, it can't be for nothing. Yeah.
That's true. I mean, there is work involved, responsibility,
yes,
and there's the possibility of a penalty.
Yes.
Right. But okay, if we look at Malaysia, do you think your role is made complicated by the fact that many of our listed companies, the management and the shareholder are one? They're the same group of people, right? So does it make it difficult for you to say, hey, you know, this is what you need to raise the professional level of directors? They might turn around and say, no, I've done very well for myself. Thank you. I don't need your advice.
Again, I think that's where we come in. We're not mandatory, but if people can realize and come forward and see that they need to change or they want to learn to see how can we run things better, for example. Now, we are coming, you know, we will be running a specific program for family businesses, for example. Now, family businesses are usually, you know, entrepreneur-driven. They have, you know, family members on board. It could be a situation, as you've just mentioned here. Now, it's not easy for a person who holds the two hats, for example, as a manager and as a shareholder. It's not easy to manage that conflict. What more if you're on a board, all right? So, again, this is something which we need to address, all right? If corporates realize that wearing these two hats creates a conflict, all right? If individuals start to realize that wearing these two hats creates conflicts every single day, that's already a red flag, all right? And something needs to change. And what we do is we make them realize what are the financial effects of you know, such circumstances on a corporation. You know, again, this is a mindset shift, so it takes a while. It's not going to change absolutely overnight. It won't happen. But it will take a while as long as you raise the awareness, show the consequences of where you have these sort of situations and whether it's ideal or not. All right. And when that awareness is out there, then it's not just a box-ticking exercise anymore. You actually realize there are consequences.
But for a lot of them, I mean, to them, the main thing is the bottom line, right? As long as I'm making X dollar, does it really all matter? I'll just do, you know, I'll give lip service to whatever the regulators want, whatever the law says. It doesn't matter to me.
It's not all just dollars and cents. And I think a lot of them realize that, right? That focus now needs to change. It needs to be more diverse in that sense, right? If I may say so, because investors are speaking up. Your consumers as well are speaking up. You know, even if you're not a listed company, if you're a Cinderella Bahat, your consumers will speak up. They will avoid you, right? They will shun you. They'll shun your products, for example. You can't avoid it.
realistically, because you are like a professional body, it's just persuasion in a way, right? Because even the regulators, there really isn't much to stop this from happening.
Yes and no. If I look at it, when you look at regulation, when you look at compliance in inverted commas, right, there's sort of three phases of it or three parts to it. You have the regulation bit, the regulators. You have then the market discipline. And then the third, last leg is self-discipline. Now, in terms of regulators, I believe we have a very robust framework already in place. We have a good base. Malaysia has a good base. Right. And this is, again, apparent from the ACGA report that came out last year, the Asian Corporate Governance Association report, which saw our rankings rise from 7 to 4. And they recognize that our regulators are good. Our CG rules are good, for example. Right. Now, so then we go on to market discipline. That leads on when you have good regulators, you have good, market discipline as such. Now, the last leg, and this is where ICDM has come in, is to fulfill the role of improving that self-discipline. Right. Governance has to be internalized as well, so that there's a good balance between regulator within the regulator and the market. You don't need to overregulate when there's self-discipline, right? But this again needs to be internalized, right? Governance needs to be internalized. Governance is not static. That means you need to be kept abreast of the changes of how you steer your organization, right? And when governance is internalized, when it's genuine, your investors and your consumers will trust you. So it all leads back to trust again.
The feedback is that the wheels of justice seem to move very slowly. So when it comes to errant directors, it takes almost years, right? I take one example, Transmile, a famous case from 2007, and now only is the CEO in court after 12 years. So for me, wouldn't faster action or more punitive fines or even custodial sentences make directors really take their role seriously, aside from what you do at ICDM?
Yes, indeed, definitely. I mean, but you need a balance. Right, there needs to be a right balance. If there's too much of a stick, then again, it doesn't work and you don't encourage the right behaviours, right? And you don't get the right directors coming on board when there's too much of a stick, right? You want to encourage as well the right behaviour. So there needs to be a balance, right? Enough carrot and enough of a stick in that sense. But yes, the ACGA report last year also highlighted that our enforcement in that sense is, can be improved as such. And I believe the regulators know this, they recognise this, government as well. I know it's very proactive in this sense, and we're coming up with other areas trying to improve governance. From that point of view, you've got the NACP, you've got the GRACC, all being set up. So both in the public and private sector, everyone's recognizing the importance of this.
On that note, thank you for your time, Michelle. I do hope that ICDM will make a difference to corporate Malaysia and make directors take their roles more seriously. I'm Ong Xiaoning for the Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, Frost & Sullivan's Malaysia Mobile Service Provider of the Year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.